NBA Strayer. How are you going? How are you going? I hope you're all right. This is NBA Strayer. It is Monday, March 18, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm also the host of the official AFL Supercoach podcast, also the host of AFL Today Show. I had a great show last night, wrapping up round one of the AFL footy. That was pretty fun. Go check that all out. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown all things NBA. That's what we do here on NBA Strayer. With a dash of Strayer thrown in there. Got plenty of Aussies actually to talk about today. We've got a Josh Green update, in fact. And happy birthday to Dyson Daniels. So big weekend. We've got a Steph LeBron duel for the ages. We had chaos, close games galore. We had buzzer-beating game winners. It was awesome. Also, I just want to posit the question about Ben Simmons. In the unpopular opinion of the day. We'll do weekend winners and losers. We've got the game wraps. We've got that son and I, Fall May, No Mates, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. We've got some Yenars. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. And our back take, yes, we were serving up a flame grill take. There is a Shane Hill, Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award, which is pretty fun. And there's a, what, bunch of previews for tomorrow, because tomorrow's slate is pretty hefty. So, yeah, it'll be good. Trust me. We'll finish up with a brand new daily review. So without further ado, let's get into it. Episode 1055 of NBA Strayer. Let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Tell you what, better watch out the attack of the old what is going on with your foot there, Jim, aka Jim's latest medical update. It's all right today, which is good. I had to drop the squids off at daycare and school. Sort of walking down the hill from the car where I sort of was like, all right, I'll park here. Just sort of walking down there, walking back up. It's like, oh, this isn't too bad. She'll be right. Sort of made sure I looked after today, but otherwise. But also watch out for the attack of the Sam Hauser if you're the Washington Wizards. I don't know if you saw that one today. It was hilarious. Pretty bloody good. He's going to pop up again later. Don't you worry about that, mate. Also, better watch out for the attack of Bam Adebayo or the attack of Kyrie Irving, both of whom had game winners today in chaos, awesome fashion. So that was pretty good. But otherwise, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show with the Daily. Oh, it's a whip around as a gym? Yes. Yes, it is. That's why it's got a whip crack. Right. Josh Green, a.k.a. Scott. Greeny is expected to be sidelined for at least a couple of weeks due to his sprained ankle. Now, you might go, geez, Jim, that's pretty bad, and I would agree, because Greeny had sort of been, it sort of happens every time with Josh Green as well, right? He sort of gets on a little bit of a roll, everything's sort of humming along nicely, and then kapow! Something happens to derail him, whether it's an injury or someone comes back, they shift around the lineups, and ugh, it all just gets chaos. But so the Mavs have less than a month left in their regular season. They finish up against the Thunder in mid-April, so the 15th. So it'd be pretty interesting. A couple of weeks, that sort of actually doesn't give him, you know, too much runway heading into those play-ins and playoffs, but it's probably just enough where if he's okay, then he should be okay for those that playoff run. If not, maybe back at full strength, but a couple of weeks is a bit of a tough one. But the best news was that it was simply just a sprained ankle. It looked horrible. It looked brutal, but just a sprain. Happy days. Of course, sprains, oh, it could be worse than a break sometimes. But fingers crossed, Greeny is okay. Sticking with the Aussie theme, happy birthday to Dyson Daniels. My favorite aspect is this, that he's finally 21 and he can finally drink in New Orleans. As if he hasn't been knocking down tins for years. But still, it's also horrifying to think that, yeah, he was born in 2003. I'm like, I know what I was doing in 2003. Oh, geez, Jim, does that mean that you're old? Yes. Anyway, brutal. Kicking the guts up to that. Anyway, NBA admitting, well, not really admitting, They're talking about the... You might have heard a bit of the scuttlebutt over the last couple of weeks. Scoring is down across the league. And everyone's trying to figure it out. And they've gone, wait, it appears that the refs have actually sort of stopped taking the offensive player bait when they jump sideways into a dude and go, I was shooting! And not calling those absolute rubbish fouls. Free throws are down a tick as well, which is kind of nice. Of course, we did get 400 million minutes to finish that bloody Warriors-Lakers game the other day. Anyway, that was because the shot clock kept screwing up and replays, and god damn, can we just make these games finish? Anyway, the league offers outline an increased officiating focus on offensive players hunting out fouls and veering off pathways to the basket into defenders, which is the key aspect of this, right? Monty McCutcheon and co were out there going, oh, it's always been the rules that if you've got a straight line, then it's fine. And it's like, meanwhile, Trae Young's like leaping 3 meters to his side to hit somebody. James Harden's doing the same thing. SGA is also sort of doing the same thing. But anyway, the NBA is basically like, oh, yeah, nah, but we're not telling the refs to do that. It's pretty cool, but the memo, the league office put out a memo basically with the competition committee basically saying that these focuses, a point of emphasis, you're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable there, Jim. The points of emphasis memos that they're basically sharing with the referees and team officials. Basically, it's like, yo, we're evaluating the state of offensive versus defensive balance with a focus on legal guarding position and the level of contact, there you go, on pathway players to the basket. I.e., stop throwing your head back like you got shot, you bloody sooks. We're not going to call it, which I think we can all agree is good. Anyway, speaking of which, I mean, in the AFL on the weekend, we had 400 million bloody goal reviews and stuff like that, and somehow the refs have cooked that a couple of times. But it took 20 minutes to finish the last couple of minutes of that Warriors-Lakers game the other day. I think it was in 1 minute 50, and it was like, what, the Lakers are down 124-120, and it took another 20 minutes of actual time to play that out. And you're like, this is just brutal. So brutal. Like, I've got this squid. He's sitting there going, geez, Dad, what's going on? Loses interest because there's just nothing happening. I'm like, this is why we need to fix this. No one actually kind of... Look, if you're just sitting there doing absolutely nothing, and the best part was in this game, you had, like, the shot of, like, Ben Affleck and J-Lo and, like, assorted other people hanging out, like, on the side of the court going, well, this sucks. I don't want to be here. And when you've got kids at home going, yeah, this isn't fun at all, and we're not enjoying this, where's the basketball? You're like, yeah, that seems like a bigger problem than getting like the minutiae of a call completely correct. You know? Like that's more of a problem if suddenly the celebrities and co are just like, this is just bloody horrible, mate. What are we doing here? So fix it, refs. Just speed through it. As I've said time and time again before on this year program on NBA Australia, very simple fix for all of this. Every replay review has a 24-second shot clock. If you can't make a decision in 24 seconds, who cares? It's the call on the goddamn court. Move on. Move on. Move on. Move on. And every replay has to be at game speed. I don't care. Like, oh, it's touched the end of his little finger, bro. It's probably off him, mate, and we can't even really tell properly. It's like, just move on. Let's go. Anyway, let's do some game reps on the weekend. Big weekend. Game reps. That's right. The game reps where Phoenix get by Charlotte. They needed that one after getting smoke-a-rated by the Celtics. They smashed them too. 107-96. And then you're like, ah, geez, but that wasn't actually as much of a smashing as you would have thought. And yeah, Phoenix, they're going to pop up again later. Miami beat Detroit in the first of their two matches on the weekend. 108-95, no problems there. Orlando took care of Toronto in the first of their two matchups on the weekend too. That was 113-103. Interesting sort of cool, fun home-and-home sort of series there. Franz Wagner at 19. They got 31 out of Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr. did the Raptors, and it did not help. The Pelicans, this was probably the most impressive win of Saturday. They just choked the living crap out of the Clippers. New Orleans just awesome. Like Zion had 34 and 7 with a couple of steals. Paul George was causing havoc, and they just went, that's cute, get out of here. Why is this important, Jim? Well, I'll tell you, it's because they're the 4 and 5 seeds in the West. And the Clippers just lost again. Denver took care of San Antonio in Austin, which was kind of fun. 117-106. I love Austin. Many years going to South by Southwest there, and just actually in general, been there a couple of other times outside of South by, and it's the best. Atlanta lost in Utah, 122-124, which was hilarious because, like, only one of those teams is trying to win, and it was Atlanta, and they lost. That's funny. Cleveland, that's right.
Cleveland!
They lost in Houston. What? Because the Rockets are now crushing it. This was weird. My sweet baby Caris LeVert was the only one who actually stepped up for Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Even though they had Garland and Mitchell and Go the Fro, Jared Allen. Jalen Green continues his late season resurgence, 26-11. It's like, he does it every year. It's like, oh, you want to crap talk me all year, Jim, and call me the second coming of, like, Steve Francis? And I'll say, yes. He goes, well, check this out. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what Steve Francis would do, Jalen. Jesus. Anyway, bad loss for the Caps. That's going to pop up again later. The Pacers beat the pants off of the Nets because they're bad. 121-100. Siakam was awesome in that one, 28-11. The Sixers rode a big maxi game. Hornets on a back-to-back, 109-98. Good win for Philly. Needed that one desperately as well because they're slipping out of the race, I'll tell you, for the old actual top six. Hurdy-hoo. Pelicans turned around and beat the Blazers as well again, 126-107. Tough game. Look, Blazers, we know that they're not very good. But also, by the same token, the Pelicans can lose focus more than any other team in the NBA, you feel? And they sort of, you know, nut crunch time. Boom. Got the win. Bulls just pants the Wizards. Absolutely crushed them. 127-98. No problems there. And the Thunder held off the Grizzlies, 118-112. Then we had that Warriors game. Thunder Grizz. Look, don't get me wrong. Grizzlies sort of fought back, but whatever. Like, it's the Memphis Hustle versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. Not to be compared with the Oklahoma City Blue. The Warriors beat the Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
All over again. 128-121 despite LeBron James having 48-9. Steph Curry came back and dropped 31 on their heads, and they sort of just held them all off the entire way. It was really strange. The Lakers sort of had the ascendance, but it was like a one-point game at the half. Back and forth, hammering songs you love to see at Warriors. Back up into the nine spot. We'll talk about that in a second. The Wolves beat the Jazz, 119-100. Ant-Man was incredible in that game. He had 31. The Knicks, God, this game was good. Brunson has 42. They only scored 98. That's absolute, like, Allen Houston territories, if you ask me. 98-91, they beat the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. Just proving once again, you can't trust the Kings as far as you can throw them. And then today, the Bucks had a really impressive win, 140-129 over the Phoenix Suns without Giannis Antetokounmpo. The really cool part was that Chris Middleton was back. Dame went for 31. That's another good game that Dame played without Giannis. That's weird, isn't it, Jim? Yes. Yes, I believe it is, mate. But it was actually fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world, who had 31 points as well. He knocked in a million threes. He went 5 of 5. They're all, like, real early. Middleton ends up with 22-7 in his return. That is just wildly important for the Bucks, and that's a big win. The Heat. It took a bam, bam, Adebayo three-pointer at the end of this game to win it, 104-101. The end of this game was just cacophonous. It was awesome. Calamitous. In a cacophonous kind of way. There you go. Cade Richie Cunningham, for some reason, took attempted game winner with 10 seconds left on the clock. You might wonder, geez, that seems pretty dumb. And you'd be right, because then the Heat had enough time to get the ball back, go up, give it to Bam, and he just goes, all right, I'll shoot this. Bang, bam, nails it. Duncan Robbins hit a middle million threes. What was it? 7 threes. And bam, it's the game winner. The Heat desperately needed that one in Detroit. Got the win. They're 104-101 winners. They're 37-30. Chaos kind of ending. You love to see it, though. The Nuggets and the Mavs, exact same thing. But Kyrie Irving, for a bloke who doesn't believe in spheres, thinks the world is flat. He knows his way around a parabola.
Parabola?
Throws in the lefty flat hook shot for the win. Luke is beside himself under the bucket, 107-105. They beat the reigning champs at home in Texas, 107-105. It was a big win. The Nugs, look, it felt like they were going to, like, just sort of squeeze the life out of them and win this one in overtime anyway. After they sort of came back to get it all tied up at 105, Joker had 16, 10, 11, and 7. It's like one of those ones where it's like, yeah, he's having a wildly inefficient game. And the Mavs are meanwhile just like, well, we've got Gafford. We've got, like, Lively. We've just got two big dudes to throw at him. So I guess we'll just keep doing that, man. PJ Hamilton, Washington couldn't hit the side of a fucking barn. But it didn't matter because Kyrie just went, fucking check this out. I'm going to hit the game winner. It was psycho. It was stupid. It was awesome. 107-105. Good win. Then we got a Raptors Magic game. The Magic just ran over the top of them, but it did give us the jersey swap that just will echo throughout the ages. 111-96, big win for the Magic men. Palo Bancaro at the 29. The Celtics kicked the shit out of the Wizards thanks to Sam Hauser just going absolutely off his fucking head. 130-104, the Wizards are just a basket case. Poole at 31, didn't matter because Sam Hauser lit him up. The Spurs beat the Nets. Now, is this important, Jim? Well, look, if the Nets had any fans, it probably would be. 122-115, Wembanyama was off his head. 33-15 and 7 and 7 blocks. Bloody hell, mate. He just pants the entire Nets organization. And then finally, the Hawks ran over the top of the Clippers. What? 110-93. A lot of Trae Young Ewing theory vibes right now after that win. It was DeJounte Murray crushing it again. He hits another 5 threes. The dude is just turning into a dead-eye shooter. DeAndre Hunter, and he had 18, 12, and 6 from Jalen Johnson. He was awesome. You might go, well, geez, Jim, I guess that Harden and Kawhi probably didn't play against Atlanta, and you would, again, be wrong, because I'm just watching this game going, what the hell was that?
What was that? What the hell was that?
Was that because you'd bet on the Clippers, Jim? Yes. 28 for Kawhi. Yeah. 26 for Paul George, 3-10 shooting for 9 points for Harden, though. And this team is just getting nothing off the bench because you've got PJ Tucker went in, absolutely belted the bejesus out of, I think it was Jalen Johnson. And somehow, after all the bloody rigmarole of replays and shit like that, somehow PJ Tucker with a wind-up wangs a dude in the head, like loads up, bang! Slaps him across the chops. Oh, he's going for the ball. Incidental contact. You're like, are you fucking serious, refs? For all the fucking hand-wringing we've gotten about all this sort of shit time and time again, wherever you touch somebody with their pinky, you hang on the fucking ring for like 2 seconds, like basically overall. It's a tech foul. PJ Tucker literally mugs a dude and nothing. It's chaos. Anyway, sucked in Clippers. You got beaten. 110-93. Let's do some weekend winners and losers.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is
me. Ken Brockman. There we go. Winners, Dallas. To snag that win over Denver was massive. Why is that, Jim? Well, because they needed it desperately. But also, it vaults them back into seventh with the same record as the Suns, but they're ahead of them. And this is big because Dallas need every single win they can snag at right now. Like the Kings losing to the Knicks was actually pretty big as well, right? Because they're now all basically tied 2.5 games back of the Pelicans and 8.5 games back overall. But the Kings have actually, I believe, played 2 less games than both the Mavs and the Suns. So they're slightly a tick ahead on percentage, even though they're basically still the same amount of games behind the Thunder. It's a tough one for Dallas. Like, they need to keep winning games like that, and they haven't for most of the season, right? So this is a really, really good one. They now get the Spurs 2 games against the Jazz as well. Dallas, if you want us to take you seriously, win these 3 as well. Then there's 2 massive games against the Kings back-to-back in Sacramento at the end of March, 27th and the 30th. It will basically, it might sort of decide essentially where they're going to land. So pretty crazy stuff for Dallas, but to bank that one against Denver was bloody huge. Milwaukee, it's our Gonquin for the good land because that's also a weekend winner right there because Chrissy Middleton came back and played his first game after, 16 games out and had 22. And without Giannis, they beat the hell out of the Suns. Yes, you don't get 5 threes out of Bobby Portis every day, but that was sick. Great job by Milwaukee. Because this was also the thing in the, I don't know, do you want to call it the Doc Rivers era, I guess? they've, you know, bank some wins. That's fine. That's all you can do. You can only beat the teams that you're playing and beat the teams that you're, you know, in front of you. But they have also lost to the good teams. They lost that game to the Lakers. They lost the game to the Warriors before that. They lost to the Kings. And, like, the ones that they had won, there was, like, one good win over Minnesota, and that was kind of it. But now, ripping off a really good win against the Suns, you're like, yep, this is it. Now they play the Celtics this week, which is going to be bloody huge again. Then they have the Nets, the Thunder, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Hawks. It's a pretty rough home stretch there, run for the Bucks. So, good win over Phoenix. Love to see it. Good on yous. The Warriors, same sort of vibes, beating LA with Steph. Was very cool because it makes the 9-10 way more interesting and way more hilarious because this is the old double win. It pushed the Warriors back ahead of the Lakers in the West. They're 9-10 respectively now. Good stuff for the Warriors. You got to be loving that. But cool, like big winners because Steph came back. That might just be the entire thing. If you've got Steph Curry, you got a puncher's chance in every game that you're going to play, especially when it comes to the bloody playoffs. But they are one loss up on the Lakers. In the, they've played two less games than the Lakers again, but they are one loss up. So handy days for the Warriors to beat LA and to just keep punking Anthony Davis and like hurting him. Adam Silver should probably put them all in jail, but he won't because he's a coward. Toronto and Utah. But Jim, they've lost 1 million games between them in the last little bit. Yes. So Toronto have now lost seven straight. They lost both those games over the weekend to Orlando. Utah somehow just beat Atlanta. They're like, what are we doing here? God damn it. But they have lost 15 of their last, I think, 17. Maybe 18. Why are they winners though, Jim? Well, they understand the assignment. Toronto are like, oh shit, we've got to give our pick to like San Antonio because we fucking traded for Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl. Now that's a horrible mistake. Oh, I don't want to give him this fucking pick. Well, wow, hang on a second. We might not have to give it to them if it still lands in the top seven. Oh, it's good. So now they're tanking as hard as they can bloody tank. So good on you, Toronto. That's some just understanding what is going on here. They're on 23 wins now. But the cool thing is that leaves them equal sixth with Memphis. That's right. There are no other teams. It's basically we go Washington, Detroit, San Antonio, Charlotte, the Blazers, and then the Memphis Grizzlies and the Toronto Raptors tied for 6 and 7. That's some good tanking. And Utah, look, they're in 20. They've got 29. They're 29-38. Brooklyn, who give their pick to Houston anyway, are sitting there going, God, goddamn it, we've screwed the pooch on this one. But speaking of which, Houston, they've won 5 on the trot. Usually, I'll be like, what are you doing? You meant to tank, but they've got to give up their pick. They get Brooklyn's pick. So you've already got a number 2 pick in Jalen Green and a number 3 pick in Jabari Smith anyway. So who cares? Like, I'd rather see them play well, play hard, figure out who works well with the other ones. We've spent all this year in Houston going, well, Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, they're going to, like, knock some sense into these dudes. And all they've really done is taken, like, playing time and advantage, like, you know, opportunities for growth away from Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr. So hopefully Houston can sort of spin something out of this. They're now 9-24 on the road, which is pretty crazy where they were all season. But good job by Houston. I'm enjoying them. The Knickerbockers of New York City. That was a big win over the Kings. 3 straight now to keep a just a tight hold on the number 4 seed just ahead of Orlando. Had a great weekend by smashing Toronto back-to-back twice. That's just great timing. Then right there with New York, the 2 games up out of the 6th seed from Indy and Co., and that's a pretty good weekend for both the Knickerbockers and Orlando. The Pelicans beat the Clippers, then outlast the Blazers on a back-to-back. Zion's crushing a big weekend for him. The Pelicans, you're not going to find a weirder, more funky, stranger, bizarre, kind of fun, kind of weird, kind of janky team in all the NBA. Seriously, just try to define what they are. It's like, oh, no, they got Zion. They got CJ McCollum. They got some stuff, man. It's pretty good. I'm like, I don't know. Settle down there, Joey Miles. Hey, bro, I don't want to watch the fucking thing with me. Anyway, no, look, the Pals, crazy weird, but the way they beat the Clippers was more just like indicative of what you expect, right? Big. Just go big. Smash them. That's what they did. Oklahoma City, they're rolling 47-20. They deal with Memphis. Denver lose, so that means that they're on top of the West again by a half game over the Nugs. Thunder are going to love that. Eight-strap, but the real winner here is Josh Giddey. Eight straight double-digit scoring games for him. They've gone 6-2 in that time as well. The Gidmeister is finding a bit of a groove. Still missing. He missed a lot of threes in their game against Memphis, but still. And then, of course, Boston, 53-14, five straight wins. They're cruising and just kicking the living hell out of teams. It's like a plus 11.5 point differential, basically. It's just silly at this point. Like, they sort of just sleptwalk through that win. It's like, all right, Sam Hauser, you hit 10 threes. He's like, all right, man. Dude, you see that kid over there? Dude, look at this. And Jerry Muzzle, I love you, Sam. Do you want to come watch The Town with me, bro? It's the fucking best movie, man. Like, oh, fucking show. Look, you know how much I love fucking Jason, but if you want to come hang out with me and watch The fucking Town, man, you can shoot fucking 23s a game. I don't give a fuck, mate. Because The Town is such a fucking good movie. Do you want to learn jiu-jitsu with me, man? We can lose this.
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up. Losers.
Loser.
Losers. 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 Brooklyn, oh, God. If they had any fans, they'd be furious at how hilariously shit their team is. Three straight losses and basically just played themselves out of playoff contention, right? They're now 4.5 games back of Atlanta. If they hadn't lost those three straight, they'd be right there, right? And if your auntie had a wang, she'd be your uncle. But still, Brooklyn, it's just so dispiriting watching them. It's like Dennis Schroeder, German Rondo, Mikal Bridges is just like horrible. We're going to give out awards at the end of the season. Most disappointing is probably going to go to him. There is just nothing on that Brooklyn Nets team. Like, Cam Johnson had a game-winning shot, because Dennis Schroeder actually had the we're going overtime shot. Cam Johnson actually has the we're in overtime. We need a bucket right now to tie this back up and give ourselves a shot. And just fucking short-armed it. You're like, jeez, this team is horrible. Anyway. And somehow, Sean Marks has still got a job. Good on him. Oh, bro, it's because I know lots of things about Josiah, eh? I also knew lots of things about Mikhail Prokhorov, eh, too, bro? Anyway, good on you, Shawnee. I'm happy for you. Right, what else? We have Cleveland. Oh, that's just sad, Jim.
Cleveland!
They got smoked by Houston, but that was with their dudes. They'd also played a fair amount of games in a very short amount of time, but still. Going into Houston, getting killed. Not great by Cleveland. The Lakers. Oh, geez.
The Lakers stink!
Two tough losses in a row after having all of these California games for like the entire month of March. Losing to the Kings. Yeah, cool. Then the Warriors. They get Steph back. Should have been able to beat them. They should be okay, though, the next like week. They've got Atlanta, the Sixers, and Indy all at home. You'd expect them to win most of those, but still. Like, this is why we spend so much time talking about the fucking Lakers and Warriors, and you look at this and they just drop a game to the Sacramento Kings and lose to the Warriors. You're like, is this team good? The answer is no. Anthony Davis, he's hurt again. Corneal abrasion. That's your eye, Jim. Corneal. Questionable against the Hawks on Monday. He had a big swelling up eye. It looked horrible. But he began regaining his vision late on Saturday. That's not great. And his eye is believed to be feeling better. Yeah, I think probably sit this next one out, Anthony. Just saying. The Clippers losers as well, because that was a Los Horrible weekend for the Clippers, huh? Because they just lost to the Atlanta Hawks. They are now only one game ahead of the New Orleans Pelicans. And I talked about this on Friday's show about how Saturday's game between those two was a massive sort of turning point. And that's it. The Pels have now won their two weekend games. The Clippers lost their two. They're now 42-25. All the fun sheen is completely off. The weirdest part is it's happened as soon as Russell Westbrook's gone down. Like, the wheels have just fucking completely come off. It's like, Rusty might not have been able to hit a goddamn shot, but he might have been important for at least team spirit. Hey, boys, get around me. Come on. Now he's gone. Well, now he's sort of, you know, not out there on the floor. They're fucking rudderless. What are you doing? You're relying on James Harden's leadership. Yikes. And then finally, Phoenix. Absolute massive weekend losers. A win over Charlotte. Oh, that's all right, Jim. Nah, it was sandwiched between bad losses to good teams. After the handling they copped at the hands of the Celtics, the Bucks fucking smashed them this morning. Like, if you're getting killed by fighting Bobby Porter's fighting around the world, like, you're fucking cooked, mate. So, yeah. Righto, NBA Australia approved performance of the weekend.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That is a knife. Jalen Brunson's 42 of the Kings. They only scored 98 points. I loved it. It's mostly because I love, love, love Jalen Brunson. Is it as much as Joe Muzz fucking loves Jason Tatum? No. nothing is as loved as that. But Brunson just became like the fourth Knicks player ever with consecutive 40-point games, right? Like, that is sick. That's so cool. So he drops to 42. They only win it, was it, 98-91. But God, he played his ass off, and it was fun as hell. So let's go, Jalen Brunson. All over it. He went 17-28 from the floor. He had 42 points. He had four steals. Shot 5 of 10 from downtown. Absolutely brilliant. He crushed it, mate. Zion as well had a big, big weekend. The big rig had a big weekend. You love to see that from Zion. Because as I sort of hit on, was it Thursday show last week, I want to say, if he just rides out the rest of this season healthy, that's all we want, right? We want a healthy Zion in the playoffs, comes out of the playoffs healthy. If he can do that, next year could be off their fucking chain, mate. So against the Clippers, he had 34-7-4 with three steals. He shot 14-21 from the floor. And then against the Blazers, he had 26-10-3. That's right. As soon as people started calling him out about the rebounding, bloke has been rebounding again. He's gone 8-12-6-9-7-10 in his last six games. That's awesome. Love that. But the 26-10-3 with a block and a steal, he shot 11 of 17 in that one. He's shooting 62.5% for the month of March so far. That's pretty bloody good. So Zion's crushing it. And then, of course, a couple of other big ones. Kyrie, the NBA Australia pre-performance of the night. Dude just went, all right, boys, I've got this. I'll somehow get it in the bucket. That was such a fucking, it's not a knife. This is a fucking knife moment. Love that. And then Victor Wembanyama. God, he smashed the Nets. Of course, look, the Nets could be beaten by the under 14 East Keel or fucking mixed netball team at this point because Cam Thomas is lighting up for 31. Wemby goes, I don't give a fuck, huh? 14-26 from the floor, 33 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks. Jesus, that is awesome. Who was Spud of the weekend, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. A couple of big Spuds in that Clippers game. I mentioned the James Harden fat man who barely claimed 3 of 10 for his 9 points, 9 assists, and 3 turnovers. You had also Amir Coffey go 1 of 6 in that one. Bones went 0 of 4, all of which were from down, bloody down. Rough one, I'll tell you. There was actually a moment in that third quarter the Clippers just didn't score for about 8 minutes. Seriously, I think Harden and Bones were 0 of 11 with 7 turnovers before either scored, which is pretty crazy. So, great job. 1 of 7 for Taylor Hendricks. Don't want to rag on rookies, though. 3 of 14 for Jaden Ivey. 3 of 12 for Keegan Murray as well on the weekend against the Knickerbockers. 5 of 19 for De'Aaron Fox. 4 of 15 for Emmanuel Quickley. The OG Anunoby goes 1 of 8. Jeremy Sochan. I'll tell you what, that game today against the Brooklyn Nets for Jeremy Sochan, he goes 1 of 8. But my point is, in that game, most disappointing player of the year might have to go to Mikal Bridges. It's either Jordan Poole, Mikal Bridges. Jalen Green has been pretty good for the last couple of bit, but 1 of 8 for Bridges and then 5 of 16 today. Just brutal for the weekend. And Patrick Baldwin Jr. goes 2 of 11 and nobody seemingly shot the magic number. You bloody jerks. Who's Old Mate Nomads?
Old Mate
Nomads.
Old Mate
Nomads.
Old Mate Nomads.
Old Mate Nomads.
Old Mate Nomads.
Old Mate Nomads. Who's got Nomads today? Philly is now just like, yeah, fucking Tobias Harris. Now, I've obviously been one of the louder, more abrasive fucking what are you doing, Tobias? Voices just... It's hilarious. Like, what are we doing here? But it's now gotten to the point where the rest of the, like, Sixers fans are like, yeah, we've had enough. We've just had enough. It came after a couple of janky games. It's like, without Embiid, if you can't be doing anything, Tobias, like, literally why are you being paid $35 million? Now he's out with a sore ankle, and you're like, oh, yep, cool. Great job, everybody. Great job. Old mate, no mates as well. In terms of that, like, Wemby just out there doing it by himself. The 33-16-7-7, like, it's only ever been done by Kareem, that stat line. So, yeah, it seems pretty important to actually get him some dudes who can help him out. And then today, he actually kind of got it because, oh, Keldon Johnson and stuff actually kind of hit a couple of shots and carried them down the stretch. So, Not bloody bad, man. Not bloody bad. Devin Vassell in the 25, Kelton in the 24. So it's about time he actually got a couple of mates. But Tobias Harris is like persona non grata there in Philly, which is pretty funny. Panting the night, we're just going to stick with Wemby. The block that he had on DFS basically saved the game and just pants the entire Nets organization with seven blocks in general, right? Like, it was just absolutely chaos. The Schroeder block that he had as well right at the end that basically kept them up. It basically, they were down 117-116 at one point, but he blocks the Schroeder shot. They reverse it, so it's like 115-114 or whatever. Well, 115, yeah, something like that. And boom. They roll on to win. So great stuff by Wemby, just pantsing all the bloody Nets. Who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. I'll tell you what. Ayo, Dosunmu, that's right. Quite literally, Lonzo's backup. Ayo is better than Lonzo Ball today because he had an absolute rip schnooter of a game against the Wizards. Yes, it came against the Washington Wizards, which, to be honest, I don't know, United would probably have no problems with them at this point. 34-3-9 he threw out there, 14-22 from the floor, 4-7 from downtown. You might remember Lonzo's career high is 33. Ayo came out and dropped 34 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, only 1 turnover, and was officially better and Lonzo Ball on the weekend. You love to see it. But then we have a big weekend, so we've got a fantastic, awesome, everyone's favorite Magic tweet. Never, ever change Magic. I absolutely love this Magic tweet because he's just like, oh, geez, man, have you seen these guys? Because they're bloody good. It was Magic Johnson tweeting out this afternoon. Once a pops up. There we go. I want to put the Western Conference on notice. The Dallas Mavericks, coached under Hall of Fame Jason Kidd, are a different team with new additions of Washington, Lively, and Gafford. Watch out for them in the playoffs. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. And Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
Ken, this is actually not Dickhead of the Weekend. It's Legends of the Weekend because the Black Dick jersey swap. I'll tell you what, it was fantastic, wasn't it? Anthony Black, Grady Dick swapped jerseys. They knew what they were doing. The photos were incredible. The Magic just pumped it out, just went, oh, this is great. How fun is this? And then very, very quickly realized their mistake. That was awesome. Grady Dick, you're a weird-looking unit. Anthony Black, you rule. Together, the Black Dick cannot be denied. You guys are the Legends of the Week. Right, let's do some yeah-nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, the NRs are brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch.
People!
Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch.
Yeah, do it. Go to NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. Get a hoodie, get a t-shirt, get a stabby holder, get a coffee mug, whatever you need to do. Do it. Also, quick sort of little thing at the end of that. Whoa, boy. Magic just saying, I want to put the rest of the Western Conference on notice. I love it. It's like, Magic, I don't think it matters if you put them on notice, but it's great. ROKC underrated, Jim. Yeah, but nah, right? Because this is such a young team and the rise and rise, and like we'll keep hearing this over the next month. There'll be people going, oh, well, the Magic, oh, not the Magic, the Lakers or the Warriors or whoever, they have to play like the first round. Oh, they're just so experienced, you just gotta smash them. You mean like all the times they didn't in the regular season? Oh, the playoffs are different, man. Yeah, they are. the Thunder are also an absolute fucking machine at this point. They got the best point differential in the West. They're crushing teams. I usually subscribe to the idea that, yeah, teams have to, like, cop their lumps before they do anything. But the Thunder are that good, that young, and that talented. It might not fucking matter. Like, they can always just go, all right, SGA, get us a buck. He's like, all right. The weird part is, like, Giddy might be sort of like the weird sort of weak link in that offense when it gets to, like, crunch time. But it feels like Mark Dagenau has spent this entire season going, yeah, we know, Jim. That's why we're playing him, sort of like these weird truncated minutes. So that's going to be, you know, these weird lineups, and we're going to throw fucking weird shit out there. So I think they are underrated, but at the same time, like, they're the sort of team that you can see going all the way to the Western Conference Finals before you sort of know. You think about Atlanta a couple of years ago. I just don't think that people are giving them enough credit. So I'm going to say underrated. Is Şengün the problem in Houston? Yeah, nah. I mean, no. But it is pretty interesting that he goes down and they suddenly start winning. I don't know. He's a pretty good defender. But, of course, for my brain, it basically means that what's happening in Houston is that the pecking order has just gotten a little bit clearer, where you've got sort of teams just going, right, so how do we slow down Houston? They go, well, we'll just try to slow down Jalen Green and stuff, and Şengün is like out there just causing all sorts of havoc, but we'll let him go. Jabari Smith Jr. has sort of just been going, hey, check this out. I'm fucking good again, man. And Jalen Green has done the exact same thing. He's been vaguely efficient the last couple of games. But I think it means that, like, Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks can actually play the role they are. It just sort of smooths it all out, because then you also get Amen Thompson out there getting every goddamn bloody point and rebound under the sun. Green is scoring without, you know, any sort of fear of, like, stepping on Şengün's toes, and same with Jabari. So it probably just smooths it all out in their brain. So in terms of, like, good timings for injuries, Şengün just going down for the last month and then letting, you know, our man Rock'em Sock'em Block'em Jock'em Landau, like, cook for a little bit, it's kind of neat. But it also means that Jabari Smith and Jalen Green, there's a thing that I tend to say, and it's usually don't ever trust anyone who says, I always say. But the idea of, like, too many dudes, Essendon, when you talk about AFL, I worry about them having too many dudes. Like, you're raising your floor, but I don't know how high your ceiling can be sometimes when you have too many dudes, right? And Houston, without Şengün there, look, obviously they're not going to be as good. Other teams are probably going to underestimate them as well. But it just sort of opens up opportunities for Jabari and Jalen to be more engaged, and sometimes that's really fucking important, right? So I kind of like it. They're suddenly, like, weirdly watching. And also, they're wearing those sick H-Town jerseys the other day. Do you buy the, oh, we're not really forcing rule changes onto the refs mid-season from the refs and the league office. Are you buying that, Jim? Yeah, nah, no, of course not. That's just great corporate governance. Don't leave a paper trail ever. And away they go, right? It's like, oh, yeah, we never force him to do it. Fucking they better do it or they'll know what happens kind of vibes. But hasn't made it better. Yeah, nah, yeah. These games have been so much more wildly competitive, I reckon, in the last month. And if you've been betting unders, just saying, you're doing all right. Unpopular opinion of the day. This one's an interesting one. This is the Ben Simmons thought from the weekend.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Sort of like, the more I've thought about the Ben Simmons situation, the more I'm convinced, like, is this maybe it? Like, the best case scenario is that Ben comes back and he's his old self. The surgery goes well. He gets back his athleticism. His playmaking ability is still there. He can be a defensive menace. But at this point, what does that actually mean? And what does that actually sort of achieve for Ben or for the Nets? Like, the dude is 27. He's going to be 28 before the start of next year. He's just had a second back surgery. Color me skeptical that he's going to come back and actually be a really important key cog for an NBA team. Because without a shot, and the dude doesn't want to fucking shoot. The dude is afraid to shoot. The bloke is Draymond Green, but way worse. He's a max contract Andre Roberson. Like, he's a taller Killian Hayes. He's a shorter DeAndre Jordan. So what does his next contract look like? And is it in yuan? I'm just asking. Because what NBA team is going to go, okay, well, now that Ben Simmons' $40 million contract is expired, we better sign him to this contract. It's like, ooh, what are you doing? Like, there is no way he gets above, like, mid-level. Like, no team is going to go, oh, well, actually, yeah, $16 million a year. For a dude who can't shoot and is coming off two fucking back surgeries, like, next year is going to be massively crucial for him, or he could be in fucking China. Just saying. And I don't want that to happen. I want him to come back. I want him to crush it. I want him to be awesome. I'm just very fucking skeptical. Quick Outback Takehouse. It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, fucking wallaby feet. That's right. They're like chicken feet, but way gamier and not as tasty. So, I don't know. We picked up a couple on the weekend on the way back from B-Town. So, get them in you. Wallaby feet. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, it's not even that much of a bloody flame grill take, but come on, NBA, get your head out your ass, and why do we not have throwback week? How does this not exist? As your vice president of fucking common sense, I'm telling you, there should be a throwback week where every team in the NBA plays at least one, you know, plays every game in that week in one version of throwback jerseys. If you want to cycle through every bloody crappy design under the sun, as a bunch of these teams have done for the last 4 or 5 years, how about you give us some sick throwbacks that we all do all at once? Not only that, but you got to wear the shorty shorts like John Stockton, so you got one ball hanging out, you know, that sort of good gear. LeBron's log just flopping around, you know, off we go. But throwback week, how do we not make this happen, NBA? Get your head out your ass. All right. Only at Outback. It's not even a flame grill take. That's just a good idea. What are we doing? All right. Australian Player Watch right after, let's say, this.
This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, we got Creaky as well.
This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Jeez, Jim, did you just press two buttons at once? Yes. Josh Giddey, 13-6-2 against Memphis, 6-12 from the floor, 1-6 from three. Now, this is kind of the weird little focus that you want to keep an eye on with Giddey and his shooting, right? Because we've seen teams just like leave him open and him light him up, so whatever. I hope, look, he's proven that it doesn't really matter. He's still just going to keep shooting. He's shooting 33.3% from three this month, after shooting 28.9 back in February and 30.8. So at least it's on the uptick now. That's good. But still, he's only got two games where he's hit multiple threes in a game this month. So hopefully he gets a little bit, gets the eye in a little bit more. But 13-6-2 against Memphis, you love to see that. Patty Mills, Patty Thrills had a tough weekend in those two Detroit games for Miami. 15 minutes, 0 of 4 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3 in that first game. 2 assists, 2 steals. In the second game, 1 point, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 0 of 4 again, all of which were from downtown, 1 free throw made. So a bit of a tough one for Patty, but hopefully he gets back and starts hitting some shots again, because that is an 0 of 8 run over the weekend for Patty. Rock 'em, sock 'em, block 'em, jock 'em, land out, roost out. 6 points, 3 rebounds in 17 minutes. He went 3 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 2 from downtown and 1 block, but still, Houston are winning the more that they're playing him. Jinglin' Joe Ingles. He had the two games against Toronto for the Magic Men. He scored 5 points in both. 5 points, 5 assists, 1 rebound in 15 minutes in the first game. 1 of 2 from the floor, both of which were from three. He went 2 of 2 at the line. And then in 13 minutes in the second game, he had 5 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, and 2 turnovers. 1 of 1 from the floor. It was a 3. And then 2 of 2 at the line again. Already gave you the Josh Green update out for a couple of weeks. Fingers crossed that Scott is back soon. Dante Exum against Denver in that win today. 8 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. Shot 4 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 1 from downtown. Gave him really good minutes. Dyson Daniels will be back soon. Happy 21st, as we mentioned. But he is back there practicing now, after his knee injury. Hopefully Dyson is feeling good and back soon. Aussie Matty T was out with an ankle injury against the Pelicans as well. And the Great Barrier Reef has gone back-to-back for the first time in his NBA career with 0 point games. In 11 minutes against the Knicks, he had 3 rebounds, 0 points, and then 8 minutes against the Pelicans, he had 1 foul, 0 of 1 from 3. And from the floor, obviously. And 0 is the rest of the way, so no rebounds, no assists. So, bit of a tough one. All right, how about a Shane Hill? Shoot a shoot. Shoot your shot. Light them up, award, though.
He threw it down! Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Hill.
Shoot a shoot.
Shoot your shot. Light 'em up award. All right, this one goes to Sam Hauser after the weekend. So he had 30 points. I already mentioned he hit 10 threes. So not only did he hit no other shots apart from his threes, it was sick. He hit 10 of them. He also became the first player in NBA history to hit 10 threes in under 23 minutes played, which is just absolutely ridiculous. He had a great call, I think, from the Boston announcing crew as well. He's going to get convicted for arson, which is almost as good as a, are you healed? Are you healed? But he was just absolutely in fuego. You love to see it. He had 10 threes by, the start of the third quarter and was absolutely flaming hot. So, great job, Sam Hauser. Anytime you can sort of do that for, a team like Boston. He didn't tie the Celtics record, which was 11 threes. But I think he turned his ankle, basically, at the end of it, watching his last shot that he missed. So, anyway, pretty crazy. He and Tatum became the first duo in NBA history to have 30 points as well while playing less than 27 minutes each. So, Sam Hauser, bit of a gun. You love to see that. All right. Patty Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in. We got a bunch of stuff from the weekend. We got Patty just all over the shop. The Heat Culture 88. You love to see that picture. God, it's beautiful. It really is just beautiful. Just look at that. Heat Culture 88. He's looking good in the shorts. He's got to be loving being in South Beach. He's got the Bam Adebayo shot that he's reposted from the Heat. I love this. And then he's also gone, thank you, Miami Heat, for giving us a platform to support and celebrate women, support women shirt. There's a picture of the missus. It's looking great. Patty Mills, what a legend. I'm lucky enough to be married to one of the most badass female entrepreneurs out there. And then he's got a nice message to his missus, Miss Alicia. You've inspired me every day with your passion, focus, and dedication to building straight the label. Your desires to ensure equality and elevate women through Teams Mill Foundation and all your efforts to create opportunities and pathways for young Indigenous Australians through Indigenous basketball on and off the court. It's been a privilege to watch you bring all this to life. If you haven't checked out Straight the Label, you should. Hashtag support women. Patty Mills, legend. All right, let's do some previews.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How was the weekend?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I didn't do much on Saturday with the bung foot, but feeling all right now, so it's all right. Had a good time up at Ballarat, too. Just kind of like chill. Just hanging out. Right, Tuesday's NBA slate. We've got Cleveland plus 7.5 at Indy. The Cavs are 7.5-point underdogs. I am not entirely sure why. Yes, they lost to Houston, but at the same time, they've still at least got, I don't know, half-decent dudes out there. They've got Garland. They've got Mitchell. Let's go. I think they'll be right. I'm going to go the Cavs plus 7.5. If nothing else, it's just a really big line. So let's go. Miami plus 3.5 in Philly. I just don't trust the Sixers at all. I'm going to take the Heaters plus 3.5. Even on a back-to-back after Bam has the game winner against Detroit, you know that they're going to bring their A game against Philly. And because this, again, is like a double win sort of game, right? Because Miami are right there in the 7 spot ahead of Philly. They're on the same, the exact same record, right? 37-30. So I'm going to go Miami, Butts, Spoelstra up against Philly. So bit of a Kyle Lowry revenge possibility, but keep an eye on that. Let's go Miami. Boston are 15.5-point favorites against Detroit. I think the Celtics can probably smash them out of the park, especially at home. Boston have a tendency sometimes to be a little bit wonky, but Detroit, look, the way they're playing, it's spirited, but Boston will be way too good. Portland plus 7.5 in Chicago. Chicago did just absolutely wallop the Wizards. It's a 7.5-point line. I actually don't mind the Bulls to keep rolling and just crush the Blazers. So it's the old LaMarcus Aldridge Bowl, this one. Being traded for Martell Webster. You'd love to see that. Right, what else have we got? We've got Minnesota going to Utah. Utah, obviously, stealth tanking. We're going to go the Wolves minus 7.5. Ant-Man's going to do some crazy stuff. Sacramento are 10.5-point favorites over Memphis. Now, we just saw the Kings, lose to the Knickerbockers of New York City. Memphis play very, 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 very hard. We saw that when they came up short against OKC. I am taking the Memphis Grizzlies plus 10.5 in Sacramento. The only qualm I have about this is that Sacramento love to just kick the crap out of a bad team. So keep an eye on that, but I don't mind the 10.5 for Memphis. The Knickerbockers take on the Warriors. I like the Knicks defense in this one. They're 3.5-point underdogs in San Francisco. I'm going to take the Knicks plus 3.5. OG Brunson, there's kind of just enough there that I think they can keep a pace with the Warriors. So give me the plus 3.5 for the Knicks. And then the Lakers, they host the Atlanta Hawks, Kaká, minus 8.5. The Lakers are 8.5-point favorites. Without AD, it gets a bit squirrely, but I think Atlanta, after beating the Clippers today, it's a tough turnaround. So I might take the Lakers minus 8.5. The Lakers desperately need a win, obviously. But that's it for today. Oh, yes, mate. But we'll be back tomorrow because that's what we do. It's NBA Australia. We're daily. In the meantime, get around the AFL Today show. That's right, the one that I host with the Borge. That goes up Sunday nights for your Monday morning commute or just your Monday morning, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, talking about all things footy. We cover off every game, all that sort of stuff. It is a really fun time. It was a really fun show last night. So get right around AFL Today on your podcast app. And obviously, on that, well, that show, this show as well, Twitter, Facey, IG, all over the socials, NFL Australia, the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast. We've got them all. Every sort of thing that you need. Cricket, soccer, footy, NRL coming soon. So chuck a rating review for all of those on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever it is. Remember, we can actually now watch NBA Australia on YouTube. I've got it working again, so this one's going to go up today. You can watch my smiley face do dumb stuff and yell into a microphone. If that's what you're into, go check it out. It's very fun. So go subscribe on YouTube to that, AFL Today and everything. Go on NBAAustralia.com/shop and get your merch. Big thanks go to From Ozzo for the intro and outro song. Shout-outs to House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Shadow, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, whatever. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. All right, we'll close out with a Deli review. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Ozana! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? Drawing my deli over here to swing a by for my latest pop culture review, eh? I'm not going to tell you, mate. Well, we fucking smashed the crap out of Tassie in the first game of our, like, final series or whatever. But the thing that's really got my fucking goat this week is, like, my boys, the Pies, what are they doing, mate? 0-2. Yeah, we won the fucking flag last year, but that's no fucking excuse, right? Like, I play so fucking hard, game in, game out, to see these fuckers just having a laugh, like, doing high fives and shit when they're getting their ass kicked by the fucking Swans. Mate, you're taking the piss, fucking Nick Dacos. Come on, pull your fucking head in or fucking Deli will do it for you. Anyway, other stuff that we're watching this week on the old telly machines or whatever, I got to tell you, have you seen that Creator movie? It's fucked in the head, mate. Like, the missus, she's like, hey, have you watched this? I'm like, I don't fucking, honestly, I don't know. I just don't know. And she's like, all right, let's watch it again. And like halfway through, I'm still like, I still can't remember if I've fucking seen this before. So, yeah. It was, like, not great, I'll tell you. I was a bit confused. Was it because I was looking at my phone and following the footy scores? Yes. That didn't help. But at the same time, the entire fucking movie's like, oh, it's AI, it's going to kill us. Like, yeah, no fucking shit, dickhead, so fuck off. Anyway, 16 out of 10 Deli ones. Go check it out on, like, whatever app you use to watch your tellies and shit. So, yeah. Righto, that'll do us for this week. Cutting the Pies. Bloody hell. Pull a fucking finger out, Dacos. Jesus. Catch you next week. Later, fuckers. Deli out.